Welcome back. We are here live at the Travelers Championship, brought to you by the fine folks at Delta Dental of Connecticut. We've been here all morning long. It's been a great morning. People are on course right now. Mackenzie Hughes and Maddie Schmidt are on one, and Tony Finau. I don't know if we're Christian Bezuidenhout.
I know he's South African.
Right, correct. And I think he was in contention for around, was it last week or at the player?
He's usually a steady golfer, always in the mix, you know.
This is how he spells.
And then fades out towards the end.
Bezuidenhout. That is something I'm going to stay away from in announcing. But my son's on course, and he's following Mackenzie Hughes and Maddie Schmidt. And we're here with Ozzie Palomo from Chartwell Strategy here as we wrap things up. And it's been a great morning. Thanks to the folks. I mean, obviously, they always treat us so well here. We're right above the practice green next to the PGA Tour Fan Shop. A lot of listeners have come by to say hello. There's a lot of people. It's a really good time to be here. There's a bit of a breeze, which is nice to keep that humidity flowing, because it is going to be soupy and really hot later in the day. Ozzie, so what do you think in terms of who are you interested in seeing? That's my first question.
I mean, I think anytime you have a field that's as packed as this one, which is great, you want to see the best, right? We'd love to see Scottie Scheffler go out there and do something. Rory, I think, is due. He's had a couple of rough tournaments.
He's made fun of this tournament for being too easy, so maybe he'll welcome that today.
I think he needs it. But look, you know, there's always a surprise or two, right? And that makes a run, and there's always the course record that's always out there to go after. But I think, to your point earlier, following Oakmont, I think these guys are going to have a field day out here. Although the rough, I think, is a little bit tougher than it's ever been because of the rain that they've had. I was talking to Nathan earlier. I don't know if that's enough for them to be impacted by it, but I expect probably some low scores.
Who do you think's going to win?
I have no idea, you know.
I'm making everyone make a call except Nathan.
You know, I'm going to
totally punt it.
Yeah, I won't punt. I mean, I like Max Homa. I think he's a pretty cool golfer. I wouldn't mind seeing him go out there. Scottie Scheffler is playing ridiculous golf. You know, even the guy putting right now, Jason Day, can make a run here, so.
Yeah, what's up with the pants with him? He's famous for the baggy pants now, and that's his look.
It's his new golf brand that sponsors him called Malibu.
I think he used to do tight pants. Now he does loose pants.
If they paid me, I'd wear those pants.
It's like goes back to like the breakdancing era type thing. But he's a good – he had outside of like the Schefflers and the Tigers, there's like a guy – like I just mentioned Tony Finau. He had a stretch where he was – planning it like every week, and then the ebb and the flow is kind of amazing. Like Jason Day was having a lot of Sunday contentions, and not like he's not doing it as much, but he's not doing it as much.
I mean, he did have back issues a couple of years ago, and that was pretty well documented, and I think he's back in pretty good form. But to your point earlier, golf is hard, even for them. So,
what's the best round you ever had?
The home course, Patterson 76. Was very happy with that.
So four over, is it? What's it, a par 70?
It's a par 71. So.
Okay, so five over. Yep. Is the best you've done. And then these guys,
that's a bad day for them.
It's go back to the drawing board, see the psychotherapist day.
Yeah.
Which always kind of blows my mind.
Let's just hope Wyndham Clark doesn't break any lockers here. So
he's here, so it could come to an end. I got to sneak in a few real world questions for you. I mean, so much going on. You know, we talk a lot, you know, via text, and you were encouraged by some of the economic numbers and other things. Obviously, I'm amazed. You know, I try to be independent, right? I'm not neutral, but I try to be independent. I was sort of blown away that so few outlets talked about the statistics from the border in May. Was just absolutely stunning. Obviously, inflation, the tariffs have not yet reared their head, if they will. We just don't know. I'm going to go on a bit of a rant. When Trump did the tariffs the first time, every economist I knew said, it's inflation, and then nothing happened. So you can't tell me you know what's going to happen type thing. But domestically, the economy seems to be pretty good. Internationally, it seems to be a little out of control. I'm just saying, you know, from your standpoint, you talk to operatives every day. Like, what's the feeling?
Yeah, look, I think on the domestic front, they're feeling pretty good about the economic data that came in, to your point earlier. I think the numbers have been, you know, showing that it's a steady economy, that it's pumping along. I think the tariff impact, again, most of the economists that jumped the gun, they may still be proven right. We don't know that. But I think the impact hasn't been felt today. I think there could be some lagging impact going forward. We'll see what this July 9th deadline comes and goes, and what kind of tariffs he unilaterally puts on individual countries. So there could be a lagging effect with the tariffs. But to your point, the data right now is we're showing record revenue coming in. It hasn't impacted consumers, you know, as hard as it, you know, it may have here and there, but not to the extent that it was forecasted. So I think a lot of it still remains to be known. But I think the administration is pretty encouraged by the fact that they see a strong economy going forward based on a lot of the decisions he's made. I think part of that is the, you know, the regulatory rollback that, you know, doesn't get a lot of media coverage. It's not super sexy. But companies understand now that they're free to actually start focusing more on business than compliance with a political agenda.
Does the international stuff make you a little uneasy?
I think anytime there's conflict of that magnitude, it certainly does. I think it's, you know, being the world superpower, we get dragged into a lot of things, either knowingly or boxed into it. And I think it's a precarious situation that this administration is going to have to thread that needle to make sure that, you know, whatever occurs has minimal impact, certainly on the ground there, but, you know, for our country here.
Do you think we'll do something?
I think
just it's your opinion.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, look, I'm not privy to classified information or what the president's seeing. But, you know, if you take a look at the moves he's made in the last week, leaving the G7 early, my sense is because he was getting intelligence that he needed to be in Washington and the Situation Room with his team analyzing what comes next. And look, Iran's been a problem for a long time for this country, right, through their proxies, attacking our service members and the likes. And I think, you know, I think Trump is going to be put in a position where he's going to have to take some sort of action unless Iran comes to the table and dismantles the nuclear program voluntarily in order to survive politically back in Tehran.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think ultimately he does. I don't think he wants to.
It is not his inclination for war. He does not like war. He does not like death. He's freaked out by blood and doctors. It is not his MO to go in guns blazing. So.
Yeah. Although he wants to talk tough. And I think the interesting thing is that most, I said this off the air, I think domestically, when he threatens, most people roll over. Internationally, we're finding
it's a lot easier to cut a deal on the economic side than it is when it comes to national security.
Yeah, that is a really good point. Ozzie Palomo from Chartwell Strategy here joining us on Brian and Company. We, of course, are live here at the Travelers Championship, as we like to be every year. I like the Thursday. We were going to do the Friday. I was like, why don't we do Thursday? I like the first day. And, of course, we're brought to you by Delta Dental of Connecticut. And like I said, the players are on the course. And because there are 72, there's no cut. It gives you a little bit less pressure. I find that the crowd intensity is more evenly distributed because you know you're going to see your guy on a Saturday or Sunday no matter what. But from here, you know, we're playing golf at 1. You got to be in Hartford, West Hartford at noon. What's your plan from here 3 minutes from now to when you got to go?
I'm going to check these guys out on the putting green and the range, see if I can pick up a few tips, walk a couple holes, and be reminded how just subpar I am compared to their professional ability.
Golf is insane. I don't know how people can do it. I mean, I don't like it enough. Like, 9 holes is fine for me. And you have friends that are bananas for, too. Oh, well, we did 72 and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I would want to jump off a bridge.
I think yesterday was the, you know, Bandon Solstice, in which the, you know, group of guys goes out there and plays 72 holes, trying to play every course over in the Bandon Dune Trail.
Get out. Is that in Oregon?
It's in Oregon. Yeah, it's an impossible place to get to. I've never been. So if anybody listening out there wants me to, you know, to join them, please. But I was watching it on X, and 72 holes starting at sunrise and ending at sunset at sometime around 9 o'clock.
I had a buddy who did 100 holes to raise $100,000 for childhood cancer. And, I mean, I was like, I will just probably take a loan out of my home before I would have to do that. I love to watch it. I always love watching golf, and I like to play it, but that just is insane.
But you are sneaky good. You can pull a couple holes together.
Yesterday I go two on, one off. Like, that's, and if I do that today, it would be great. And in terms of Bandon Dunes, I got a buddy who lives in Portland. We might be able to pull that off, by the way. So
live from Bandon Dunes, I like it.
We might have to work it out. And what do you think the over-under is? This is the last question, and Joey loves this. What do you think the over-under is on the number of red umbrellas that are on this course? Because Travelers has their icon, right? And the marketing on this course is insane. They just have their – and so, like, we're looking right now at probably 40. Right, I mean, maybe
easily.
And that's just one snippet. I mean, if I look left, I look straight. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, what do you think? 18 holes, all the concessions, all the little spots. What do you think the over?
That's a good question for Nathan. You should have asked, but I'm going to guess over 5,000.
5,000 as a line, Matt. What do you think of that as a line? I know we got to go. I think the line is. You think it's solid? I'm taking the under on 5,000. I would place it more.
Well,
like,
you said your son's here, so if, you know, we may have to pay him to count them.
We may have, and you know what? If you pay him, he would count them. Ozzie, thanks for stopping
thank
by.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Joey, great job. We want to thank everybody at the Travelers and, of course, Delta Dental of Connecticut. Your time is 9:00.